Jim and Pat, will you guys come up? We feel like we want to pray over you. We just want to anoint you. I'm really grateful that you guys have been with us here, and one thing I've seen over between last night and today is hearts that are hungry. Nothing gets me more excited than a group of folks to say, man, nothing's going to keep me back from receiving all that God has. But this is the cool thing, is you guys equally can impart to them. There's an energy, there's an encouragement, there's life, there's gifts that you have that equally as you join with us in prayer over them, that's going to release into them as they've been releasing into us. And will you grab the Lion of Judah flag? This is the visual I got too, is during worship, Jim, I heard the Lord say, go grab the flag and go stand by you, because I knew you were in the back. And what I kept hearing was, as the banner bearer, just standing next to you, there was something about this activation of what you're doing. And I don't know if y'all know Latimer Bowen. So this on this flag is the Lion of Judah. Let me go ahead and, hey, why don't you come up here, Matt, real quick, so we can show everybody real quick. So here, this is the Lion of Judah flag, specifically Project 7 Billion. And we believe that the Lord is releasing something. And we're going to drape you guys with this and then anoint you with oil and then pray over you. So go ahead and go behind them and... and then our team here is just going to lay hands on you. Yeah. I'll let you pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for Pat and Jim, God. We just thank you for your anointed vessels. They've been so faithful, faithful servants, God. I thank you, God, for just all the stuff, Lord, that they've paid such a price to advance your kingdom. And so I thank you, God, and I ask right now that you release a multitude of blessing back into them now, God. That even as they've been pouring out with us, God, we want to release an impartation to them, God. That they didn't come just to give to us, God, but they came to receive from you, God. So we bless them, God. We bless your servants, Father. I just anoint their feet, Father. I just saw this picture. I just feel like the Lord's giving you new territory to take. New territory. You are not the end of, you're not at the end of your game. He's giving you new territory. He's doing new things. I heard a word, I think Chris said, you know, it's not the next thing, it's the new thing. He's doing a new thing. So, Father, I just anoint their feet. Father, I thank you. I bless them, God, for everyone they've ever poured into. God, I thank you on behalf of all of those soldiers, all of those ones who've received from them, and even those of us who are about to receive more. God, I just thank you. I just thank you. And Father, I ask that you just set them a fresh fire now, God. Release a fresh fire. Father, I release right now complete and total healing for them. God, they've been champions of healing, body, soul, and spirit. They've been champions. God, renew and refresh and restore healing to them right now. We command all sickness, all of this head cold stuff, all the stuff that's been trying to rob their voices, God, we command it to leave now in Jesus' name. Father, I declare that Pat's hearing will be restored now in Jesus' name. I release restoration power right now, and I command these ears to open, open, open in Jesus' name to complete and total healing, God. We thank you, Jesus. We've seen you do it, God. Do it again. Do it again, God. You are no respecter of persons. So we thank you, Father. Lord, I just ask for an increased hedge of protection around them, God, as you take them higher, higher and higher into new territory and new land. God, I ask for greater... Oh, thank you, God. I just saw... you've had ministering angels around you guys the entire time in your ministry, and I just felt an upgrade. Thank you, Father. I don't know what that means, but I just felt like higher level of authority has been released. Thank you, Jesus, for those commissioned angels now. Thank you, God. Release your glory. You're such a good giver, God. Complete and total healing. restore, God. I thank you for fresh energy, a fresh jig in their step. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
All God's people said. Oh, man, that's good. just after that time of worship, too, by the way, real quick, if anybody walked in with an ailment that had been bothering you, will you go and just check your body real quick? Because there's something, if we were playing in healing rain, probably a good idea to check the healing that came in that. And specifically, was it right knee, Linda? Linda, was it right knee? The right knee? Okay, so specifically right knee. Is anybody dealing with the right knee issue? Is it still hurting? Okay. So as much as possible, those with the right knee, why don't y'all stand up real quick? And those around, which I'll pray over them. You guys are the ministry team. Realize this is not about the people on the platform that do all the work of ministry. It's the saints that do the work of ministry. So if you've got a right knee issue, go. Let's pray over right now. Just declare over their complete and full healing. Complete and full healing. Darcy, will you grab a hold of Willie, Matt, and Erica? Yeah, come on. We just declare complete and full healing right now in Jesus' name. All inflammation to go away, all pain to go away, all structural damage. We just declare creative miracles right now within the knees. Right now, regrowing of cartilage, restrengthening of the muscles surrounding the knee. Lord, we just declare right now anything that's attached to the knee that got out of alignment because the knee was hurt, hips, backs, necks. We declare in Jesus' name a complete and full healing just coming into those areas as well. As it is in heaven, release it. In Jesus' name we declare. Now go ahead and test it out. Try doing something you couldn't do before. What's that? Zero. All right. Yeah. So we got two healings. We got two. How we doing, Willie? What's the percentage? 80%? Thank you, Jesus. All right. So we got 80%. Here's what we're gonna do. Will you guys, the three of you, come over here and I want you to pray over Pat's ears. This is activation. Freely receive, you freely give away. Willie, will you come up here? And just put your hand on her shoulders. Let's not put hands all over her ears, but I just feel like God wants to. All right, so Father, we just declare what you just did once. We declare again right now, creative miracle within, Lord, her ears, a regrowing of the auditory nerves, the bones, the everything that's there that structurally has not been. We declare right now, as it is in heaven, we reach into, we pull out full parts and place it into the ears. In Jesus' name, open up. Amen. Yeah. Would y'all give God praise one more time? All right. Jim, Pat, who's ever going next? Come on down. So why don't y'all give some honor as Pat comes up here? So.
That was fun, wasn't it? Wow. We were laughing this morning. We were just talking. I said, you realize this tonight is 3 hours, and it's supposed to be about trauma, and if you talk about trauma for 3 hours, they're going to be traumatized. So we kind of regrouped a little bit, but we wouldn't have had to if we'd have really pressed into the Lord and realized all he was going to do before we ever came up, right? So I'm going to kind of speed through that which the Lord gave me to share tonight, and then Jim's going to come do whatever he does. Those of you that were here this morning, did God do something in your hearts? Yeah. He knows what he's talking about, doesn't he? My husband knows what he's talking about. Yeah, I'm really thankful. We've really, really enjoyed being here with you all and getting to know those of you. We thank you all for inviting us. Cindy, we love you, and Chris. It's been a number of years, and it's really fun to reconnect. But as I was just thinking about, adding something in tonight, I was just kind of thinking about it with the Lord, and I asked Jim if he really shared much about the human spirit, because I think we talked to you a little bit about it. But let me tell you where I think how the Father kind of wants to wrap some of this up. We've talked about woundings, we've talked about trauma, we've talked about things that block our hearts, we've talked about those type of things as we've gone on. But one of the areas we haven't really talked about is relational trauma, relational woundings. And the reality is we live in a fallen world. We live with fallen people. We live in fallen relationships. We're married to people who aren't perfect. Most of us do. I don't, but you might. Now, we live with brokenness. And because of that, woundings can continue in relationships. And so one of the things we have to learn is we have to learn to get healed from the wounds as they happen. We have to learn how to mature in our spirit man so that when the wounds happen to our soul, it doesn't derail us. Because they're always going to happen. And that's not a negative word. That's the word Jesus gave to his disciples. He said, in the world, you're going to have stuff. Right? He says, in the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Yeah, right. Be of good cheer. Yeah, right. Fear not. Why? For I have overcome the world. The problem is we get stuck with, in the world, you'll have tribulation. And we don't make it all the way through to the end of that verse because I've already overcome it. Okay? So it's tribulation's going to come. Don't be afraid. Press on through to me, and I will show you how to overcome it. Okay? There was an instance 30-some years ago. Our son had just been born. We have 4 kids now. And they ranged at that point in time from 15 down to a newborn. And he had just been born, and we were out in Colorado. Jim worked in the oil industry. And in the early 80s, the oil industry tanked. Some of you remember that. And it was bad news. And many, 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 many thousands of people lost their jobs. Jim was one of them. He tried everything he could. He sent out resumes. He did all this stuff. Well, he had been a VP in a company, and it wasn't a real market for people of that level, right? And an age where they're like, well, we know that if you get something better, you're going to leave anyway. So he couldn't find a job. We went through our savings quickly. We went through everything quickly. We sold the pictures off the wall. We sold our plants. And this is really sad. We sold our Cadillac. We sold our Toyota. We sold our sailboats. You know, we sold the stuff. Because when you're making money, you buy stuff, right? Even though we don't think we're going to, look in your garage. We buy stuff. Okay. Well, there came a point. Jim finally went. A friend called and said, hey, come out and sell sailboats and yachts with me in Orange County, California. At least it'll give you some income. So Jim went out. I stayed home with four kids. And we got to a point where we had no money. We had some sardines and some crackers in the cabinet. Now, guys, we lived in a really nice house. And we still had really nice clothes. And we still looked like we were prospering. But we didn't have squat. Right? And some people that had less squat than we did came and dumped off food in our garage. Because he worked for a grocery store and he got to take extra stuff. Well, because they had been where we were, they brought to us, right? But you know, during that time, the bill collectors called. And they aren't nice. Do y'all know that? They're not real nice, and they don't really care what the situation is, and they don't really care about you. The problem is they want their money, and you know what? They have a right to want their money. The problem is I didn't have any money to give them, and one of them, we were trying to sell our car, and one of them basically called me a liar, and that was just about it. And I slammed the phone down, and I was ranting. I said, I'm done. I'm not answering this. I'm not doing this. You know, what, you know, all that stuff we do. Yeah. And I heard the father say this. What's the worst that can happen to you? Well, I told him. We can lose our house. What's the worst that can happen to you? We won't find any money. We're going to have to live on welfare, and we're not going to have this, and we're going to do this, and then we're going to have this, and we're going to be embarrassed about this, and we're going to be ashamed because we've been leaders, and we've been this, and we've been this. We're going to be ashamed, and we're going to be failures and everything. Okay, and he kept saying, what's the worst that can happen? And I kept telling him, and I can think of a lot of worse things that could happen. And he kept saying, what's the worst that can happen? Well, finally, I ran out of answers. And you know what he said to me? They can't eat you. That's what I went. What? And all of a sudden, the idiocy of my panic came before my eyes. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. You see, if we can get from here to here in any situation, we can walk in peace. Amen. We have to get from here to here in the midst of what we're going through. And you don't do that simply by saying, well, bless God, I'm just going to trust Jesus. We have to go through it with him. We have to go through the fear not. Fear not, I've overcome it. When we deal with that fear that we're alone, that all of those things are going to happen, then we can walk through it. Okay? Now, that has nothing to do with what I'm going to share with you. But I just felt like that's for some of you tonight. That some of you need to be able to understand it's not always an instantaneous thing. I want you to know during that time, I prayed, I fasted, I worshiped, I danced, I shouted, I rebuked, I bound, I confessed, I did every single thing. I prayed, I knelt, I stood, everything I had ever heard of that might help, I did. And I didn't get anything but hoarse, depressed, and sad. There are times when all of that stuff is just stuff. If it doesn't come out of this place, it's just stuff. And you can't war yourself into the presence of God. Because there is no war in him. So how do you get there? How do we get there? It is a process. The word says, and I'm going to hit these things really fast. So I hope just grab hold and shake yourself, and here we go. The word says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What does that mean? It says you must be born of water and of spirit. It says those who love him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It says, be sanctified holy, spirit, soul, and body. It says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Where? I have everything I need for life and godliness. Where? You see, something, the spirit of man. I'm going to give you, in the garden, I talked about that the other night. Here's a little picture of what I think happened in the garden. Man and woman are spirit beings. God is a spirit being. They're created in his image. They're connected to him, spirit to spirit. Life is flowing into them. Eternal life is there. Everything's good. They're communicating with each other, spirit to spirit, probably conversationally, emotionally, relationally. He walks with them. He talks with them. He does the whole thing. And boy, that spirit life is just flowing back and forth. He breathed his life into them. That's the same word as spirit. He breathed into them. So it wasn't their physical body. It was that place within them where his breath came. And it was his spirit that was living. And their spirit came alive and they became like him. And then all of a sudden something happens. And he says to them, if you eat of this tree, in that day you will surely die. And they're thinking, I don't even know what death is. Do you realize that? What do you mean I'm going to die? I don't know what death is. I've never seen death. There is no death here because everything's life. Right? Okay, so Eve is walking along like this, having a conversation with the bad guy. And she goes, oh, that's really pretty over there. That looks awesome. I think I'll go taste it. Because you know what? Maybe I'm really not enough. Maybe God didn't really mean what he said. Maybe I can eat that and then I'll be like him and then we'll be partners. And so she goes over and she eats of it. Well, he says immediately you'll die. Right? But did she? No. So she goes to Adam and she says, hey, bud, guess what I got for you? And he goes, it doesn't matter, honey. I just like you. Come on, whatever you say goes. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. And so she hands him that apple. And he chucks it down, right? And all of a sudden, this happens. Their spirit is disconnected from life. From the spirit of life, because the word says that light cannot dwell with darkness. And when they rebelled, darkness entered in, and they were separated from his spirit of life. And he began to search for them. He knew where they were, but all of a sudden, everything they knew shifted and changed. Creation itself changed. The atmosphere changed. Everything that had ever been created changed. Can you even wrap your head around that? That this is not just a little momentary bleep in time when all of a sudden man did something bad. Everything that had ever been created came under a curse. It came under a curse and it experienced death. For the very first time. And there was no life. God spoke to them spirit to spirit. Well, then we see all through the Old Testament where he would speak. He spoke to them face to face. He talked to Cain and Abel. We know he still talked to him some. Then we begin to see the way he talked to God, the way God talked to man, change. Didn't it change? All of a sudden, Moses talked to God for the people. Then it was just the prophets who could hear from God. There was a slow diminishing of their ability to hear. And I believe the reason is that man's spirit, and this is simplified, man's spirit was kind of like a lightning bug. Have you ever smashed a lightning bug? You know what happens? You kill it, but the light stays on a while, doesn't it? It's kind of sadistic, but, you know, it's kind of fun for the kids. They have fun with it. Man's spirit was disconnected, but it slowly got dark. And conversation got dark. And the word says, and then in the fullness of time, the light of the world came. He says, I am light and I am life. And when we encounter the light coming back into the world, the breath of God coming back into the world, and we say yes in obedience to Him, here's what happens. Our spirit man is reborn with the life of the living God. We are now, I want you all to hear this right now. If you have allowed the Spirit of the living God to bring you new life, the God of the universe dwells in you right now. Come on. The God that spoke everything into existence has chosen to come and join your spirit. And what does He do? He says, now, do you want to walk with me? Would you like to commune with me like they did in the garden? Would you like to have spirit-to-spirit conversation? How about face-to-face conversation? Do you want to live like they did? Do you want to live from this place of communion that's inside of you? So that when you read scriptures that say, I've given you everything for life and godliness, you're going to go, oh, it's already here. Is there any lack in Him? No. Well, then what's the problem? The problem is, I didn't know I already had it. The problem is, I don't know how to get in touch with this place to find out where it is. You see, the Word says Jesus grew in spirit, wisdom, and favor with man. He grew in here in the knowledge of who He was. When He became 12, He wasn't being an impertinent kid when He said, can I not be about my Father's business? He had already come at that point to understand in here who He was. Do you know who you are? Do you know in here all that that benefit brings you? Do you know that that place within you has more power to bring healing to you than the woundedness of your soul, than the woundedness of your heart, than the woundedness of your physical body? Because if I really know that I am one with the living God because He has chosen to, then the whole quest of my life changes. Everything I do changes. But here's how we've been growing people up in the Lord. If I had a baby here in my arms, and I had a baby bottle, and I decided to feed the baby, and I went like this, how much milk would the baby get? But we've taken the Word of God and we've done this. We've said, memorize, study, pray, listen. Memorize, study, pray, listen. Feed it to your brain. Feed it to your brain. And our spirit has been down here starving. It's like stick figures. And our soul's a sumo wrestler running the show. Do you hear what I'm saying? And God is in here going, hello. And we're going, oh, God, come down on me. Oh, Holy Spirit, come on me, come on me. Kenny says, hello, I'm here. Hello. And we're going, oh, if you would just come down. If you would just come down and answer my prayer. If you would just provide what I need. He says, I already told you I gave you everything. But I don't have everything. He says, well, that's not my fault. Okay, I'm not exaggerating, guys. I'm really not. The difficulty is we've not learned how to live, how to feed our spirit man, how to walk from this place. The word says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For years, I thought that meant if I just obey the Holy Spirit, if I just obey the Holy Spirit, then I'll be okay. Well, how are you doing at that? Well, sometimes, you know, because I'm not walking from the right place. So I learned this a few years ago, and this woman was ministering to me, and she said, "The problem is you don't know who you are." That was after she laughed at me when I told her the problems I was having, and I didn't find that very funny. But she just laughed. She said, "Honey, you just don't know who you are." And I'm, "What do you mean I don't know who I am? I've been doing ministry for this many years. I've driven all the way across." You know, I wasn't real pleased. And some of you are sitting out there going, "I know who I am. Don't you tell me I don't know who I am." Okay. If it's good for you, have at it. But for me, it wasn't good. And she spoke directly to my spirit man. She bypassed my brain, went straight to my spirit, affirmed that I was loved of God, affirmed that there was never a day he was unhappy with me, affirmed my spirit, that my spirit already knew his voice, affirmed that my spirit man already looked like him, affirmed all of that, just poured it in, and it was like my spirit was just drinking all that it could because it had been starved. I had heard it, but I hadn't eaten it and taken it in and been nourished by it. And it was like this hot air balloon went off inside of me. And I was like, "Whoa, what is that?" And it was like for the first time in my life, I had been seen. I had been known by somebody. It wasn't her. It was like all of a sudden the realization, do you understand who you are? Do you understand that this God who can do anything lives inside of you? And I had to say, "No, I don't understand." And I went home, and for 3 months, I sat in my chair. I didn't pray. I didn't read the word. I didn't worship. I didn't do anything. Didn't even kill my husband, which I was tempted to do before I went. But I sat, and here's all I did. Spirit, I didn't even know you were there. I'm sorry. Spirit, I need you. That may be all I did for a week. I spoke to this. I brought this into agreement with this. We're trying to say, how many times have you heard, if I could just get this into here? Guys, you never will. You never will. Because we're designed to get this into here. The word of God is within us, nigh in our mouth. It's already here. Then I began to say things like, "Spirit, wow, you are the righteousness of God. Spirit, in me is the righteousness of God." Guys, that's not a little thing. And then this one. Spirit, you have everything I need for life and godliness. I don't get it. But I believe it. And Spirit, I want to feed you that. I want to come into agreement with that. The word then became a whole different thing. It became something that I took and I ate. It was like me talking to me. me talking to this place where I am, where he made me, where he recreated me, where he caused me to walk from. And I haven't been the same. You can't be. And I'd like to say it's been uphill ever since. This thing has been in charge for a long time. And if you want to maintain healing, if you want to maintain your walk with Jesus, if you want to walk in the fullness of who he is, it's not about your outward expression. It's not about manifestations, but I love them. I mean, he did something to me for a couple years that I won't demonstrate, but it was not fun to do in front of me. It was kind of crazy. And I love him, but you know what? That won't sustain you. Because if you do that out there, they'll lock you up. The only place that really works is in here or in your home. The only thing that will sustain what God is doing in you this weekend, the only thing, is if you will begin to get in touch with your spirit man simply by saying, I want to get to know you. And you take the time to quiet down and become aware of this place within you that is one with the living God, that is full of life, that is full of truth, that looks like him, that carries his power, that carries his authority. And you begin to feed it, and you feed it, and you feed it, and it begins to grow. And at some point in time, your soul will choose to submit to your spirit. And when your soul decides to let your spirit run things, when your soul decides, maybe I don't know best, so spirit, I'm going to learn to listen to you and let you lead my life. When that happens, you will then begin to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You will then begin to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Because when you walk by the Spirit, you have to produce its fruit. It can't not produce the fruit of the Spirit. But we've been trying to be gracious and kind and good and thankful and all of those things out of here, and it's... I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be kind to you. You know, rather than letting it flow up out of here. One of the biggest woundings that we have are woundings from friends, family, spouses. It's the biggest area of wounding we ever have. Family. Most everybody in here has had wounding by someone like that. Much of the reason the woundings come is because we really don't understand how the other person has been designed by God. I'm not going to go into them. I'm going to tell you that I know Cindy teaches it, and I know the pastor and them understand it, and I hope they're going to be refreshing you on this. But there is a design. A specific design. There's seven of them listed in the Word. I believe there's millions of them, but we're too finite to be able to understand them. There's seven there that give a picture of God, and that every person has a thumbprint of one of those right on their soul. It's how they process life. Look at a nursery. We say, oh, you can see their personalities. No, you see their design. You see the way that God imprinted them to view life. You see the one who says, pick up the blocks, put them this way, don't do this, get in your chair. They're 3 years old, and boy, they are running everything. You see the other one going in, tearing everything up, says, who cares? Let's just have a party. You see some that are sitting there crying over, they touched me. Their heart's broken. They cry over everything. We have others that just sit in the corner and read the book. Read the book, read the book, read the book. We have others that go around, oh, baby, it's okay. Let me hug you and kiss you, don't you? They are the design of God. And many of you in your marriages right now are struggling. You're wounding each other. You're fighting. You're destroying your kids. You're hurting your kids. Your kids don't understand you because you don't understand that the issue isn't each other. The issue is you don't understand how the other one's designed. Therefore, you can't be grateful to the Father for it because they look like a portion of the Father. And I would say to you, if you don't like the way they're designed, there's probably a portion of God you don't like either. So I'm going to encourage you to begin to ask the Lord to show you if the issue is really what your spouse does or doesn't do. And see if it may be the way they process life that's differently. Very quickly, Gemini are wired, as you can tell, we're wired very differently. Those of you that are here this morning or that have listened to the trauma prayer, steady, 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 steady he is. Steady, steady, steady. That's him. A thinker, contemplator. Meditator, studier. Well, that's not how you would picture me. Nope, you'd picture me. I've got a million ideas. Why don't we do them all now? Jim says she's got a million ideas and thinks I should do them all. Actually, he did say one time, he said, I think you stay up all night thinking of things for me to do. I said, no, I don't. It doesn't take all night. Some of you are relating to that, aren't you? Yeah. But here's what we learned. God has designed me to see the way things fit together. I can come into a place and go, that's out of order. That shouldn't happen. This needs to be like this. Now, that's not women's intuition. It's not just all of that stuff, okay? It's seeing chaos, being able to speak and bring order. My gift will tear things up to have something to fix because we get bored if it stays the same. Am I right? Isn't it fun, Chris? He's not saying a word. Okay, yeah. But here's the deal. What that feels like is I'm bossy. I don't care. I just want to run the show. I'm just going to be, you know, big shot, whatever. And people look and go, well, they just offend me. They're just rude. They're just No, I'm just busy. I'm looking at stuff. I'm doing stuff. I'm sorry that hurt. I didn't even notice you were there. You know, I'm busy. It's true, guys. Now, that sounds harsh. It's not. When God sat there and looked at chaos, it says he just looked at chaos, and he just looked at chaos, and he just looked at it, and he hovered, and he looked. He wasn't paying attention to anything else. He was just looking at the chaos. Finally, he went, enough. Light. And light, and it separated, and things came into order. Jim will sit and study. And study. Well, what'd that feel like to me? You don't want to do what I want you to do. You don't want to help me. You don't want to accomplish anything. Why won't you do the things that matter to me? Come on. That's real, guys. And you know what he thought? Dear God, are you going to run me to death? I don't want to do this stuff. Would you just leave me alone? Do you want to run this thing? Does that sound familiar? That's also a male-female thing. I realize that. But to some degree, it was a gifting thing. But you know what would have happened? You know what would have happened if we would have been different? I would have done 20 bazillion things and not finished any of them right. Because I would have been running way ahead. We would not have made it to 70 years old. We'd have been gone a long time ago. Okay? But God knew that I needed somebody solid, somebody that would stick with it, somebody that would just look at the whole picture and go, not yet. But you know what he needed? He needed somebody that was looking out there and was saying, come on, come on, come on, we can do this. I've had to learn to go, all those ideas aren't for us to do. I need to find out which ones they are. We went to Kentucky to visit. We were there. We had one friend in this town, little bitty town. We were there, and we just went to get some ministry, and we're going to minister to her. We didn't know anybody but her sitting on her front porch. Second day, the Lord said, you're going to move here. I was like, what? We live in Asheville, North Carolina. That's pretty. This is Kentucky, you know. And it was pretty, but it in Asheville. And 12,000 people wasn't exactly my idea of where I wanted to spend the rest of my life. But we were there, and I told Jim, and he was like, not feeling it. But you know what? We've learned about each other enough that I knew that all I had to do was lay it out there. It wasn't mine to make it happen. I didn't have to go back, well, have you heard? No, I just let it go. Kind of hoping maybe he wouldn't get confirmation. Day four, he comes and says, yep, you're right. God says we're to move. That was in August. We were there by the 1st of September. Absolutely no reason in the natural for us to do that. We left our ministry. We left our sources of income. We just went. That's what he said to do. But because we now understand how each other's wired, we can give each other more grace. So that I'm not as easily offended by the things he doesn't do, and he's not as easily offended by the things I want for him to do. It's our design, and God's put us together. So as they, if you hear of them teaching this, redemptive gifts, if you hear, you need to, for the sake of your marriages, the sake of your relationships, the sake of your families, the sake of the community, the sake of the church, for goodness sakes, learn how each other's wired so that you can receive each other as a gift from God and you can walk in unity. Because until you do, you will continue to wound each other and you're going to continually be hurting, brokenhearted, struggling, not understanding, trying to fix each other, or giving up. And that is the biggest trauma I believe that is happening, is we have families, we have friendships, we have things that are wounding each other so much, it's causing such pain that everything else comes out of it. And that's trauma, friends. Jim's going to come and he's going to talk to you about some different kinds of trauma, and then we're going to minister the trauma prayer over you. But I'm going to encourage you to spend some time alone with the Father, speaking from here to here. Will it feel strange? Absolutely. But it's worth it.
Now, there is a name for each one of those wirings. And fortunately, she no longer pronounces mine like a four-letter word, for which I am grateful. Okay. It's time for trauma. Are you scared yet? I'm not gonna teach this whole thing, but I am gonna give you the highlights. Several years ago, and I can't even remember the year now, but I had a number of single young ladies come to me from different places in the country. There were a dozen, all under 30, who probably saw demons as kids, and it terrorized them, and their parents didn't know how to train them to see the angelic side, which you can do, by the way. And so when they would go to sleep at night, they would be terrorized by demons. And once that happens to you for a little bit, you decide you don't want to go to sleep anymore. And so you try everything you can to get as exhausted as you can so you'll just pass out and not have to worry about that stuff. But that's when the tormenting dreams come. If you cannot sleep for any extended period of time, your whole body starts to go wacko on you. Things get totally out of balance. And so you begin to get confused. Makes difficult to make decisions. And that's kind of where these young ladies were. We had one who was really struggling. She didn't know whether she could even continue to go to work anymore. And another one who was in that kind same kind of condition. But she didn't know if she could function enough during the daytime to buy groceries and keep body and soul together. And so, being the awesome prayer minister that I am, I said, let's just tackle this stuff. And we prayed and prayed some more and prayed some more, and not much happened. And so I thought, well, I need to get out of my box and start following the Spirit. And we put a dent in it. And that was about it. Now, when a dozen young ladies who are single come to a guy who's a father, I got to find the bottom of this thing. We got to get this fixed. This is not right. So I started seeking the Lord. Now the blessing of seeking the Lord is you always get more than you ask for. And that's kind of what we got. He showed me two principles that I already knew but had never put together. And then he showed me another one that I had never seen before. And we put the three pieces together, and I prayed it. And it killed tormenting dreams instantly. And then we moved on to a couple of other things. And then I thought, well, I can't teach this because I don't know if it's permanent or not. You know, you'd hate to have this work for four nights in a row and then have to do it all over again. But it was permanent. And as far as I know, the people that I started praying for, whatever it was, 7 years ago, is still permanent. So these are the constituent elements of this prayer. And before I tell it to you, I don't think it's complete. So it is up to you to take what I give you, run with it, seek the Lord, add whatever other pieces are necessary to it. Because I believe in this prayer process is the secret to some significant physical healings that we haven't experienced yet. I did take one piece of this about praying for the brain. And as a consequence, I have seen two women healed of bipolar disorder, whose drug bills were about $1,200 a month. Their husbands were thrilled with me. So the first piece of this little thing is probably the most powerful of it all. 1 Corinthians 15:46 says, it is not first the spirit and then the natural, but it is first the natural, then the spiritual. And what that says is this, is if you're looking for a picture of how our things are arrayed in the spirit realm, look in the natural. And how our armies organized. It's that pyramidal thing. There's one guy at the top and a whole bunch of them at the bottom. If the president of Mexico decided he wanted to declare war on you, he wouldn't jump in an airplane, catch a cab, drive up to your door at midnight, bang on the door with the butt of his sword, and call you out in the street. He would stand on the steps of the Capitol and declare what a nuisance you are and how much better off the world would be if you were dead. And then he would give some orders, and there would be a whole bunch of privates and maybe a few officers. And they would come to your door, but probably wouldn't knock on it. They would just blow it up. And that's kind of the way the enemy works. This thing is a principality order kind of thing. It is not the highest of orders, however, so that we have the ability to deal with it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because it touches earth. Psalms 115:16 says, "The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given into the hands of men." So you and I still have the requirement that the Lord originally gave Adam, which is to subdue the earth and take dominion over it. What needed subduing in the earth? It wasn't crabgrass, although that's probably one of them. It was the rebellion that had been thrown to earth when Lucifer rebelled against the Lord. And so that's still our purview. That's our responsibility. That's what we get to do because we bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our authority. How many of you have struggled to cast out a demon? I see three hands. The rest of you are liars. We'll cast that out here in a few minutes. This thing has been very, very interesting because the first little item in it is essentially, I asked the Lord to disconnect the trauma sufferer from every higher order demonic entity. And often I have seen deliverances from demons as a result. The reason is that like an army, the demonic order has authority and structure in it. And when you cut the head off the structure, everything else falls apart. And so it's been very effective in dealing even with lower order demonic stuff. You just tend to get to wipe out the whole mess all at once, which is kind of fun. Maybe not fun to watch, but it's fun. So that's simply what I do, is I wind up asking the Lord to be able to just cut off that, separate them from that plan. Now, I also ask the Lord to break any contracts or agreements between other demonic entities that have been entered into a contract to make that attack against you worse and more successful. Because one of the things that most trauma sufferers have is trust issues. Because many of the trauma sufferers were significantly abused by the authority figures and caregivers in their life. And so it takes somebody with not only some authority, but who can gain the trust of the individual who's suffering from trauma. next thing I wind up doing, which is very turned out to be very important, is I ask the Lord to recover any portion of an individual that has been lost, stolen, held captive, or prisoner in any other time, space, place, or dimension. As we talked about earlier, the enemy is after your identity because he wants to thwart your purpose. And if he can disrupt your identity, then you will have a tough time fulfilling your purpose. And this is one of those things that he does, is to take a portion of you and remove it to another place. Now, often we wind up having to walk the process to forgive someone who has intentionally sent some portion of themselves away because they felt it made them more vulnerable to attack, more open to abuse, more rejectable, less lovable. And so you need to ask the Lord to retrieve that portion of them and put them back together again, so that the fullness of who they are can be directed toward the purpose that the Lord created them in. And then I wind up taking authority over the physical body of the individual. You and I have a record of every traumatic incident that has ever happened to us memorized somewhere in your body. At the end of a long work week, what hurts? Your shoulders get stiff, your back hurts. You see, you and I were not designed, not created to carry trauma or stress or tension or the effects of worry, anxiety, any of that stuff. The Lord Jesus Christ died for it. And so for us to continue to carry it wears us out. So he's given us a means to dump it on him, to take a spiritual and emotional bath frequently so that I can live life. How many of you have been on a mission trip to a foreign land and you came back and you thought that somebody beat you with a stick all night long the night you got back? Yeah. You see, one of the things that happens to us is we get impacted by the defiled land that we walk on. We also get impacted by rubbing elbows with defiled people. We get hammered by defiled environments. These have an impact on you. There are some of you who have this gift of mercy who are feelers. You walk into a room, you feel the dominant emotion in the room, or you can sense who's struggling with depression or anger or what have you. You're the ones who can sense this defiled environment faster than anybody else. But the weird part is those who can't sense it are just as heavily impacted as those who can sense it. Except we're ignorant of why it makes us so weary, why we get edgy. See, one of the things I love to do is land cleansing. It's part of the authority that he's given us. So I have become a full-fledged tree hugger. And I'm sure my ancestors are rolling in their grave to hear that word. But the reality is I'm able to sense things just by touching them. And having been born in Texas, I can come back here and my toes want to grow out of my shoes into the dirt. Because it feels like home. Have you ever been to a place that feels like home but is not your home? You have an assignment there. And that's why it feels like home. You're supposed to do something there. You're supposed to hallow the ground. The Lord wants to give you every place you set foot. Why? So you can cleanse it and make it hallowed for the people who live there. This has nothing to do with the trauma prayer, so we're going to move on. Well, for some of you, it is absolutely necessary. None of us have lived an absolutely perfect life. And as a result, we have defiled ground in a number of places. And depending upon the type of sin that you committed, you're stuck in a sin because you're still living in the place that you committed the sin. And so living on defiled ground keeps you in the sin that you're in. So there is a necessary thing of repenting, not only for the sin, but for the defilement of your property and the land it sits on. And that's one element of the thing of getting free of the sin that you're in. And if you don't do it, it's going to be a real struggle to make that happen. That's Land Cleansing 101. So some of you have received an assignment tonight. But you have a memory of everything that's happened traumatically in your body. It is residing somewhere, whether it's in bone, connective tissue, muscle, organs, what have you. One of the things that happens in nature is if you see an animal that narrowly escapes being eaten by another animal, what does that animal do? It sits and shakes. Literally trembles 15, 20, 30 seconds, and then it runs off. That's a response that the Lord has given them to release trauma from their body. You and I don't do that because we're civilized. And it looks funny. So we don't do that. And so we carry around the effects of trauma in our body. When I pray this prayer over people, about 10 to 15% of the people will experience some healing of something that was connected to a trauma, whether it was a car accident, childhood injury, abuse, what have you. And then over the nighttime period, somewhere between 5 and 10% will wake up the next morning healed of something that they didn't get instantly healed of the night that I prayed it. Physiologically, you cannot disconnect emotional responses to trauma from the physical effects of it. You are a whole being. if I come up and kick you in the shins and hurt your body, I guarantee you your spirit is going to be ticked at me. And it doesn't have a dent in it. I may have one in my face afterward, but your spirit will be good. Okay? So all you need to do is command in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that their body release all of the long-term and the short-term effects of trauma. Now, the short-term effects, you can do that every Friday night before you go out to dinner and dancing, because you need to take a bath and get all of the stress, the tension, the anxiety, the worry, the stuff of the week off of you so that you can have a nice weekend. But that's something we don't ordinarily do. So we're going to do that for you tonight to give you an example. And tomorrow you will have the best, well, you'll have the best rest you've had in a while tonight, but you'll also have an awesome Sunday. And rather than go through the rest of it, I'm just going to pray it. Now, for those of you who would love to take notes, don't. Put it down, just enjoy it. Get the tape or however you guys provide them one. You can go to YouTube and search Trauma Prayer Jim Banks and it'll come up. It's an audio thing, 23 minutes long. You can go to our website, do the same. There's also a video on there that had some of the teaching that I did this morning, but also has the fullness of the trauma teaching on it as well. There's another one on Vimeo. You can have it all. A couple of things you need to be aware of. About 10% of you are going to go to sleep. It's still effective if you're snoring. It might not be as effective for the person sitting next to you. I'm not kidding you. It happens. And so if there is someone beside you or in the vicinity snoring, try your best to just ignore it. Don't poke them so they'll stop, because they'll just start again. Just relax. It'll be over before too long. For those of you who have been significantly abused, when we get to that release point, things are going to be released from your body. You may not feel it, but what it's going to do is also bring up some emotion as these things begin to leave your body. Now, you're not being re-triggered, but you will feel some emotion. If that happens to you, just take care of yourself. Which means if you need to get up and walk around, do that. If you need to leave, do that. There's no judgment against you. It wasn't your fault. The Lord is trying to work you through this process. If there is someone who begins to cry or demonstrate some kind of emotion, do not go to them and hug them, touch them, pat them, whatever. Leave them alone. There will be a few individuals who will be walking around. Pat will be one of them. And if you're one of those individuals and somebody touches you, it's somebody on the staff here, or it's Pat, Cindy, or whoever. Unless she's sleeping and snoring. Then it may be your husband. I think that's it. Get comfortable. We would appreciate it if you didn't drool on the chairs if you're going to sleep. Father, I take authority over everything that will not bow its knee to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ from participating, attempting to influence or shape anything that goes on here this evening. We kick you to the curb. You have no place here. You have no place in us, and we give you none. We kick you to the curb. Holy Spirit, we invite you. You're the healer. You're the comforter. You're the bearer of truth. So we ask you to come. I ask you to minister to those whom you love. I ask you to heal. I ask you to bring order. I ask you to restore and love on those who have chosen to come Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to disconnect each and every one of those who are here tonight from any second heaven entity or higher order demonic entity that has gained access to them through the things that they have suffered. I ask you to do that from the moment they were conceived through today. I ask you to disconnect them from death, from disorder, from confusion, destruction, all manner of abandonment and rejection, rage and murder. And Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would also cancel any contracts or places of agreement between other higher order demonic entities that have been engaged to make the attack of trauma more effective against their lives. I also ask you, Father, that you would cancel, cut off, destroy any kind of generationally transmitted trauma that came down through their family line, that was imparted to them by their caretakers, their mothers, their grandmothers, aunts, uncles, brothers and sisters. And I ask you, Father, that you would remove any second heaven entity or any demonic entity that's been established in their family line to repeat in succeeding generations the occurrence of trauma in their lives. I ask you to break any occult curses that have been pronounced over them or at them. I ask you to sever from them the assignments of others who have been jealous of them. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would separate them from any individual who means them harm, who refuses to forgive or love. Who has sucked life from them. And Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would cancel any familiar spirit that's been established to follow them, to track them, to pursue them, to see to it that trauma occurs on anniversaries. I ask you to remove every signpost from their lives, any markers, any devices even that the enemy has put on them to keep track of them. To see to it that at some special time in their lives, they're open to attack. For those who have been abused, I remove the marker that has been put on them that declared that they are victims and that they are victimizable. I just remove that from them in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Father, to mark them as your own. But they're no longer victims, no longer open to attack. That they are protected, that they are watched over by the Holy Spirit. Father, for any of those who have dismissed any portion of themselves because it made them more vulnerable, more open to attack, I ask you to forgive them, and I ask you to restore that portion to them, that you would not only cleanse it of any defilement of any place that it has been, cancel any assignment of familiar spirits to hold it in that place and reunify it, that the fullness of who they were created to be may be realized. For anyone who has had some portion of themselves stolen, held prisoner or captive because of trauma, I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would immediately send a cohort of angels to rescue it. Scripture declares that the prison doors are open. And I ask that you would have those angels escort that portion of them back to them. And I ask, Father, that you would reunify it in this time, space, place, and dimension, at the current age and maturity level. And that you would likewise cleanse it of any defilement, whether temporal or spiritual. I take authority over their bodies right now for a few minutes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command your body to release all of the long-term effects of trauma, however and wherever it has been stored in your body, all the way down to the cellular level. I command it to release it. And you'll come out without harm or injury. I speak life to your lymphatic system to carry out anything from your body that doesn't belong there. Memories of accidents, injuries, surgeries, beatings, abuse. Just let it go. Just let it go. The Lord Jesus Christ owns it. That's what he died for. Let him have the reward of his suffering. I command out of your body anything of an excess nature, of any medication, any drug, anything that you inhaled, injected, ingested, came through your skin, that's bonded with the natural products of your body and has become harmful to you, I command it out of your body right now in Jesus' name. Especially anything that is bonded to the natural products of trauma, such as toxins, waste products. Let it go. Let it go. I command out of your bodies any residual memory of surgeries and invasive medical procedures, examinations, tests, difficult child delivery, command out of your bodies all of the memories of shock, of terror, of trauma. Of being cursed, shoved, held down against your will, pushed, left behind, pushed aside, ignored. Held against your will. Abortions, divorces, loved ones lost, thefts, robberies, embezzlements, betrayals. Business failures. Relationships that went south and you never found out why. Career failures, job losses, being fired. Command out of your bodies even the short-term effects of trauma. Investment losses. Difficulties in retirement. Nagging health issues. Trouble with children or senior adults. Difficulties with grandchildren. Neighbors. Business associates. The stress and tension that goes along with feeling stuck. No progress, no relief. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Command you to let go of all of the effects of worry. Worry about the future. Worry about the past. Worry about resources. Worry about your job. Worry about your marriage. Just let it all go. Just just let it all go. Command out of your bodies the effect of secondary trauma, of hearing the stories of death and destruction, of witnessing accidents and murder and violence. Of hearing of losses. I command out of your bodies the effects of living with drug or alcohol addicted parents, the workaholics and rageaholics, the hyper perfectionist, the absentee and emotionally disconnected parents. The difficulty of living in a dysfunctional marriage or relationship. Just let it go. For those of you who have been raped, sexually abused, I just command out of your body any sensations, any memory of defiling touch, even the smells, the tastes, the sounds, anything connected with it, just let it go. Father, I ask you also in Jesus' name that you would disconnect, even remove every trigger mechanism that is tied to those traumatic memories, whether it's a smell, a taste, a sound, a feeling. Disconnect it, Lord. Just disconnect it. Command your bodies to release all of the effects of the unrelenting weight of responsibility. Unsolved problems. Financial pressure. Excessive debt. Poverty. Disappointment. Disillusionment. Unfulfilled dreams and expectations. Just let it all go. And command out of your body all of the weariness of working too long, too hard, under difficult conditions, under significant pressure. Just release it. Just release it. Father, I pray over their brains. I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, if there has been any disconnection between hemispheres of the brain as a result of the trauma that they have experienced, I ask, Father, that you would reunify it. Restore whatever connectivity has been lost or forfeited, whatever has been damaged, whether it's electrical, magnetic, whether it's circulation. Just restore, restore, restore. I ask, Father, that you would restore any damage to nerve sheaths. Complete any development that was stalled, hampered. Father, recreate, rebuild, reestablish any electrical or enzyme connections that are necessary. That the flow of signals would be proper. Restore order. Restore order and functionality. I ask you, Father, to restore damage or diminish production capacity to any gland of the brain. The amygdala, the pineal, hypothalamus, pituitary, thalamus. Or anything that they are directly connected to. Restore them to full functionality. Father, if there's any enzyme that needs to be increased or decreased, restore balance. I ask, Father, also that you would restore balance to their bodies. That every system in their body would operate as it was designed. And that they would operate in unity and harmony with every other system in their body. So that they can walk in a level of divine health that has escaped them. I ask, Father, that you would repair any damage to functions of their body as a result of trauma. Whether it's nerves or circulation. Muscles, connective tissue, bones. Father, we just command all of the effects out of trauma out of every element of their body, including hair and fingernails. Just be gone in Jesus' name. Father, reestablish your perfect order. That the fullness of good health may overtake them. And Father, even as you offered me good days, full of energy, full of vitality. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to restore those years of good days that you have for each of them. In Jesus' name, I shut down any pathway or portal that the enemy has been able to establish to whisper in your ear. I cut it off right now in Jesus' name. I remove any device that the enemy put on you to track you. Let's cut it off now in Jesus' name. I remove any marker that the occult practice has put on you. For those of you who have lived lives of prolonged and repeated trauma, you live in a state of high alert, always trying to assess everything around you for its ability to harm you. I would declare to you tonight that those days are over. The need is behind you. You were once helpless, hopeless, defenseless, voiceless, with no ability to protect yourself or defend yourself. That situation no longer exists. You're no longer helpless. You have resources. You're no longer hopeless. You have a voice. You're no longer defenseless. So I ask you to enter into that place that the Lord has created for you. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 talks about a time that was prepared for you. That time is now. It is the time of Sabbath rest. It is not a time of inactivity. It is a time without stress, without the requirement to always be on guard. So I invite you to stand down, to enter into that place of rest. For the Lord has become your rear guard, and you have Holy Spirit to warn you of anything that you need to be warned about. You can enter into rest. It is your choice. And the grace of the Lord will be available to you to make it. You've spent a lot of time, energy, and effort. It's been exhausting. It's time to rest. It's time to rest. To allow the Lord Jesus Christ to bring rest upon you. So I invite you to enter into that place. It's been prepared for you. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would also restore the proper circadian rhythms for them. Restore the appropriate sleep pattern that you designed for them. That when they lay their head on the pillow at night, they can do so in full confidence. That they will arise in the morning, regenerated, rejuvenated, filled with strength, to meet every challenge of the coming day. And as you are resting in the evening, I ask you, I challenge you to turn your spirit to the Father. Your spirit was created like that of your Father. It never sleeps nor slumbers. Turn your spirit to Him and draw from Him everything that you need for the coming day, for He knows every circumstance you're going to enter into. He knows every individual that you will encounter and what will be required of you, that you may be prepared in season and out. to get a download from him every evening. Father, for those who have been physically and sexually assaulted as children, I ask you to reestablish the appropriate timetable for them. Reset their calendars. When those doors were open, they were opened prematurely. And they set things into disorder. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would reset their calendars and their clocks to your time. Perfect time. And Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would reorder the filing cabinet of their memories. All of those that speak to them of being used, abused, rejected, abandoned. Father, would you move them to the back of the bus? And would you reorder that filing cabinet that all of those that are easiest to get to, the ones that speak to them of being loved and honored, appreciated, enjoyed, connected, and loved would not only be the first ones, but they would be the easiest ones to get to. And Father, for those who have buried the memories of abuse and have lost connection with them, Father, I ask you to provide connection, restore it, only to be recalled when it's needful for their healing. Otherwise, it doesn't pop up in the normal course of activities. Father, I ask you also to break, shatter, cut off, and destroy all understandings and connections with the secular belief system, with the systems of this world, and any assignments that have been made against them as a result of their participation in it. Father, I bless them. I bless them relationally. I bless them physically, emotionally, spiritually. I bless them financially. I bless them with peace. I bless them with joy. I bless them with long-lasting relationships. I bless them with discernment, wisdom, and understanding. I bless their pursuit of you. But most of all, I bless them with all the love that their hearts can hold. A sense of your presence. A tangible, unmistakable sense that you are with them, and a confidence that you will never leave them nor forsake them, that you are that friend who sticks closer than a brother. I bless them with the confidence that they can hear your voice, experience your grace and your mercy. And in the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit, I bless them, for they are worthy of blessing. Amen. Welcome back. I'm disappointed that only three of you went to sleep. That means you will sleep extra well tonight. I want to thank you for honoring us with your attention. And it is indeed an honor. Our hope for you is that the Lord would lay upon your heart to become a healer. That he would invite you into a partnership with him that you would receive. There is nothing more wonderful, more addicting than to see people set free by the Spirit of the living God right before your eyes. And that is a privilege and an honor. It's also a challenge because as you meet individuals with problems that are more enormous than you can imagine, you're faced with your own limited ability. And you get to meet the faithfulness of the Lord. Time and time and time again. And it is such a pleasure to watch as he ministers to those whom he loves so much. Now, one of the interesting things about it, and this may sound somewhat selfish, but the sword of the Spirit has two edges on it. It cuts the crap off of some people and cuts the crap off of you too at the same time. And so there is huge benefit in living the life of a healer because it keeps you humble. It tends to keep you clean. And it is huge fun. And it's what the Lord created you to be. And it is the greatest pleasure under heaven to be fulfilled doing that which you were created for. So I hope that we have at least given you a hint, have encouraged you a little bit to pursue it. For it will be, as it has been for us, the greatest adventure of your life. One of the most rewarding journeys that you can start on. Because I can tell you, it is filled with the most wonderful people that you will ever encounter in your life. So I bless you to consider it. I bless you to give yourself to it. Because the Lord is looking for a few good men and women. Actually, he's looking for a lot of them. And you're it.
So I was asking the Lord, how do you close out a time like this? And just had a visual of my grandma, my dad's mom. And when I was like 3 or 4, she had had a stroke. And so the majority of the life, she had had her her right arm was like this. And she learned how to write with her left hand, do everything with her left hand. But she was one of the most joyful people I've ever met. And I remember asking her one time, I said, "Grandma, why is it that you're always so happy?" And she says, "Because I have a lot to be thankful for." And so what I feel like we're supposed to do is just thank God. Like, what one of the things that's not is going to keep your awareness of what God just did for you at the forefront is take on a spirit of thankfulness and gratitude, you know, because it maintains that humility. When you realize, man, I've been given something, a great gift, you don't take on the weight of it. You take on the thankfulness for it. And then just that through that testimony of it, as you walk out, as you freely receive tonight, tell somebody what God did for you. A lot of times Jesus would do ministry and he would tell them, now go tell everybody what the good things that God's done for you. And so I'd say the same thing for you. But as we pray, I just want to just thank the Lord for all that he's done already, what he's doing now, and what he's going to continue to do just through the rest of the course of our life. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you, for you are good. Not a whole lot more needs to be said other than thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you. Say it with me to say, I thank you, God. I thank you, Father, for being good. I thank you, Jesus, for dying and raising for me. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for living inside of me. We just ask this in his name. Amen. So give him some praise. Yeah. So as we conclude tonight's session, one thing I want to do is just remind you there's some more books for Pat and Jim over here at the product table. So please, it's a one simple price. It's $10. Is that what it was? So $10 for several other books that they still have left. What I would like to do is see them not have to pack any of them up in their suitcase as they leave. I know they would like to see that. And also, too, if you would still like some personal one-on-one ministry, a couple of leaders will be up here available where we can lay hands and pray for you and continue to check your bodies. We'd love to hear the testimonies. That's one thing, too. You're going to receive an email. If you signed up and gave us your email, you're also going to receive a follow-up email that's going to be, tell us the good things that God did. We'd like to hear some testimonies about what God is doing so we can retell the testimonies of what God's done and so that more people can experience it. Amen. So you guys have a wonderful evening, and for those that are going to be sticking around, Jim will be preaching tomorrow at our service. For all those from other churches, we love you guys. I look forward to seeing you guys again some point in the future. Thank you.